Welcome to this episode of Ad Agency Live. Now, before we actually get into this episode, I just wanted to personally thank you for taking the time to come check us out. We really appreciate our listeners. You guys mean the world to us, and you are the reason why we are creating this content. And I would also like to invite you to come check out ProfitableAds.com. That is actually our agency. So what we do is we help businesses such as yourself cut acquisition costs by up to 50%, meaning you can get people into your business using paid advertising for half the price. Now, you can't just pay us to do this work for you. We actually have what's called a partner program. And if you have an active business that is making money and you would like to cut your cost per acquisition and use online advertising to leverage for your business, I highly recommend that you come check us out at profitableads.com/apply or just profitableads.com and click the apply button. And I look forward to talking to you soon. Now, enjoy this episode of Ad Agency Live. Thanks. Welcome, fellow marketer, to Ad Agency Live with Zach Radford. And today, we're going to learn another amazing marketing tactic grow your business. Let's get into it. Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Ad Agency Live. Now, today I have an amazing pleasure to meeting with two gentlemen that are totally crushing it for agency owners, helping them automate their businesses. They've built a pretty small community of only 5,000 entrepreneurs that they're helping. They're going to bring some huge value. We have Matt Cohn and Apruva. And how do you pronounce your last name? Sorry, I'm going to... Padre?
No worries, Matt. It's Apoorva Pandey.
Apoorva Pandey. And that is me on me 100%. So basically, you guys are crushing it for agency owners. And yeah, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
No worries.
Great to be here.
Yeah, man, 100%. So just to give you a little backstory on like our community, we have a ton of agency owners that could learn so much from you guys. And everything that we were talking pre-show, I think would be very relevant. So, but I always like to start at the very beginning. So, Apruva, and I know I'm probably butchering that. My friend, how'd you get started in this business?
Yeah, I mean, it was really kind of all over the place, and that's kind of how I fell into it. During college, I took some time off and did a really successful mobile app. I was fortunate enough to be a part of a team that grew to 8 figures in like a year after I joined. And so I always knew the internet was phenomenal for marketing, right? After college, I ran a 3D printing company. I did venture capital for a bit, and I started realizing, like, no matter what you're doing, whether you're running or facilitating investment or, like, part of a team, if you don't have marketing and sales set up, like, everything, all the assumptions for the business are kind of moot. And so that's kind of how I fell into the agency space. I was just at this venture capital firm just giving up out a bunch of free value. People kept coming back for the marketing stuff, and they wanted to pay me for the marketing stuff, so I built a team. And built that business like a 7-figure run rate for kind of accrual. It was 6 figures otherwise. I built a couple other 6-figure marketing, and that's kind of how me and Matt met online. Dude,
that's crazy. What about you, Matt? How'd you get your start in this the digital business, man?
So going back to college, I became aware that I didn't want to go down the normal path of, you know, find a job, sell my soul for a salary. Yeah. And I found some, like, I guess at the time, you know, lifestyle entrepreneurs, digital nomads, whatever you want to call them. And I was like, all right, you know, these guys seem pretty chill and normal. Like, if they can do it, I can definitely do this. So that kind of was my first experience, you know, learning more about kind of like the 4-hour work week, and that sort of lifestyle. So, initially I was like, wow, you know, let's figure out how to do that. And I got started blogging and slowly started doing some freelance web design on the side, just like initially doing like WordPress websites for family and friends. And then I got a job after college, and I continued freelancing every now and then. I would, you know, I was basically making a few hundred bucks a month every now and then. And about a year into my job, I started an agency with a 19-year-old on Craigslist. I have a YouTube video sharing that whole miserable failure. And then after a year and a half, where after 6 months, that business crashed. And then after a year and a half later, I quit my job. I went all in on the freelancing. I was a freelance web designer at the time. I moved down to Columbia. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of the rest is history, as they say. But yeah, I got started freelancing. A year later, scaled it up to an agency, design agency. We were working with some awesome clients, grew that to multiple six figures, working with designers and team members from all over the world, like 20, 30 contractors. And yeah, grew that up and then kind of crashed and burned because I didn't have the sales and marketing like Apoorva was talking about. Yeah. And so that forced me to get into growth. And after, you know, implementing some of the things that Apoorva helped me with, I eventually transitioned to a growth agency. Yeah. So, you know, that's the short and long of it.
Yeah, no, and that's very stand. It's so funny because a lot of people, you hear the story, right? Or you see the man and you seldom hear the story behind it. But you know, you're like, you're crashed, you burn, you crashed, you burn, you crash. And every time you rebuild yourself into something better and bigger and stronger, I absolutely love it. And then so essentially you guys came together and created a company called Different Hunger. What is Different Hunger? And yeah.
Yeah, so Different Hunger, that was the blog that I started in college. And at that time, for me, it represented that different path. But more than that, and more than the path, it was like, you know, all of my college friends were, you know, just trying to find the biggest salary and paycheck. And I was just not at all interested because I knew that they would be working 90 hours a week, at least for some finance company in New York City. And also I knew I would be miserable. So the Different Hunger is actually from a Trevor Hall song. And I actually got to interview Trevor Hall a few years ago. And I asked him about, you know, what he intended the meaning to be. And it was pretty much spot on with what I had kind of created from it. But you know, it was really about feeding the soul, and feeding the spirit versus, you know, feeding the ego and your status. Right. So that's basically what the name means. You know, it's about transcending, you know, the day to day and the material and all that.
That's beautiful, man. And I find in my life, I'm definitely aligned with those goals and those visions and improve it. Is that what kind of drew you to Matt, or how'd you guys actually connect?
Dude, we met on a Slack group online. He was in Medellin, I was in San Francisco.
Yeah. 10X Factory. Shout out 10X Factory.
10X Factory. Shout out to Eric and Eddie.
Well, you guys were a part of that then. That's when you guys first connected.
Yeah.
I remember his ads. He was advertising like crazy. And I think I even went as far as meeting with those guys. I didn't go move forward with it, but maybe I should have.
I was funnel hacking. I'm going to be honest. I was funnel hacking their funnel.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I hopped on the call to see what it was like. And the guy on the phone was just so like genuine and like nervous. He was like new probably.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is real. Like, oh, okay. I should check it out. Yeah. So yeah, crazy, right? We met online. I never thought like my days of like AIM would help me. But we started chatting. We started passing some contracts back and forth. And then at one point we're like, oh shit, we've passed six figures. We've never met each other.
Yeah.
We've like made each other a good amount of money. Like we should probably incorporate this and like figure out this whole tax thing and how this works.
Build a real business. And then so you were in San Francisco and Matt's abroad in Colombia. What were the challenges of running this company abroad? And like, what type of challenges were you guys facing? Because I know it's complicated to run like an agency here.
Yeah.
Let alone, I'm sure you guys got amazing processes and systems down.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm going to take this one real quick, Matt, and then I'll go. Trust is really big. because you don't know what the other person's doing, right? And sometimes your brain likes to tell you stories of could he be doing. And so there's times where I've called Matt and been like, dude, what is going on? And then there's times where he's calling me like, why didn't this get done? And almost always there's a good reason, right?
Yes.
And building that trust was really important. Being able to not even control the mind, but really listen to the mind and be like, okay, what is this actually telling me? Like, why do I not trust this person? And am I not trusting myself? Is it because I'm not doing something that I think he's not doing something, right? And vice versa. And we tried to solve all that with scorecards and all this not like stuff with process and like, okay, as long as people are doing this way, we know they're getting stuff done. And that was really detrimental to both of us because we're both pretty intuitive, creative people.
Yeah.
And so the solution for that we found so far has been like really getting clear on values, not like what you think is the best in the world, but like what pisses you off and what's the opposite of that.
Cool.
Changed everything for us. Matt.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, tons of nightmares. I mean, I've hired over 100 employees, contractors, probably closer to 200 now, over the past few years. And now we're a team of 2 and soon 3. So, you know, that's, I fired everyone or stopped working with them. So, and you know, a lot of people I worked with were designers and all that, but yeah, lots of nightmares, lots of shady stories. Like we had one girl who got supposedly pregnant and then this was like week 2 or 3. And then she's like, hey, can you front me my paycheck because of these medical bills? And I'm like, wow, you know, we just went there because like, I wouldn't even feel comfortable asking, like, I don't even know if I'd ask Apoorva for that. You know, yeah, so,
exactly.
I, you know, stuff like that, right? Like shit gets, this is the wild, wild west, the internet, you know, so lots of, we have tons of crazy stories and fun stories as well.
So basically you guys found a common ground on what you guys don't like, and then you built from there, which gained trust and by cycling through people. So when you're hiring someone and you're bringing somebody into your organization, are you mostly just trying to make sure that they're a fit with your values and your goals more than anything else? And once that works, you guys can build from there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we didn't used to be, you know, we used to just be like, oh, we need help. Oh, wow. Okay. You can speak English and, you know, your brain is working, like you're hired. So, you know, that's how it started. But recently we've realized it's like everything is about alignment of values, because even if somebody is, you know, never going to see the light of day or talk to our customers, they're still part of our DNA as a company and a brand. So, you know, we've totally changed our interview process and gotten a lot tougher. And literally our first few calls with an interview are just, you know, what are your values? Like, and we go deep, you know, like we get raw and like, I need to feel that this person is being honest and transparent, because if we can't make it past that, then they're not hired.
No, that's beautiful, man. So I've learned the exact same thing in through my business. We've hired a lot of contractors that are just there for the money and it never works. And we all end up looking with egg on our face and it's extremely stressful. I now have one gentleman that I work with and we are so aligned on values. It's not even funny. Like you can ask him the same question and get the exact same answer from me. And there's nothing that can't be thrown at us that we can't solve together. So I definitely can agree with that. So essentially, Different Hunger, you guys are helping out agency owners, correct?
Yeah, right now that's our family, our tribe, and eventually we definitely want to expand. But for right now, you know, agency owners are the type of people that are aligned with our values. So
I know when I first started my agency, everybody was like, oh, it's such an opportunity, digital marketing, all of this great stuff. That's what drew me to my business. Is it hard to start an agency in 2019? And is there still a huge opportunity for people coming up in that space? And would you recommend it as an opportunity in general?
So I never think it's hard to start something. That's, I think, a fallacy that we kind of build up in our heads. I think the hard part is maintaining things.
Love the word fallacy, by the way. I'm just going to throw that out there. Perfect.
I think most of the cost for anything is in maintenance. When you buy a car, a house.
Yes.
When you start engaging in a relationship, whatever it is, it's always going to be maintenance. And that's what people don't look past. And that's what will mess you up in an agency for sure. Like, how can you build your relationships, your assets, whatever, and maintain?
So would you guys say that, like, if someone was to like come to you and be like, approve, but Matt, should I start an agency right now? What would your recommendations be? And is there still an opportunity? I know it's kind of a loaded question because it really depends on the individual, but for the right person, obviously agencies do well, especially if you can handle stress and up and down periods, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and to answer your question, I mean, the barrier to entry is so low that literally anybody can get started, and like probably at least half the agencies you see online, they just got started. They just threw up a website. Like when I first started my agency, when I was working my job in New York, like we literally went to the top agency websites in the world. We looked at all their copy and we basically took all of the repeating keywords and just put that into our services list. and so, you know, that was when I was just getting started, and like, that's still going on. Right. So, you know, the barrier to entry is low. People get burned by agencies. Unfortunately, there's, you know, there's some of that going on. But at the same time, there's always room for the best. And, you know, to answer your question,
that's a good answer.
If you're willing to be the best and you truly care the most about your clients, then absolutely start an agency. I haven't found a better cash flow model business in the world than a high ticket, you know, charge 2 to 5 to 10 K a month retainers. It's beautiful, right? So, and I just got some rappy, so I'll be right back.
Yeah, no worries. And it's the exact same thing for me, you know, like in my business and in my model, that's why I started my agency. So we have all these other goals and dreams and aspirations. The agency essentially fuels all of that. I think that was a great answer. And there's lots of, for me, like a lot of people ask me, they're like, Zach, what is the best marketing tip that you can give me to grow my agency? And my answer is always the same. Do good work. Mm. You know, like if you do good work for good people, you will attract more of that and you'll be able to grow and scale. I know it's kind of cliche, but are you guys finding similar things?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's a value, right? Like if you don't love doing good work, you're probably not going to have fun doing an agency. You're probably not going to have fun doing most things.
Well, 100%. And but so, because what I've noticed is that a lot of the clients that I meet with, and it doesn't matter, like once you get to a certain level in clients, it's not so bad. But when you're getting any type of start out client, they've already been burned by somebody, or they feel that that pressure of dealing with, you know, a newer agency. And so, but I look at that as good because it's like, dude, okay, that's awesome. You've been burned. Well, you got it out of the way. High five. Nice to meet you. Like now we can actually help you and help you grow your business, right? Essentially, so you guys think it's a pretty good idea to start an agency as long as you have, you're willing to kind of commit and do a good job. It's not a fly by night type of thing. What are like the single biggest problems that agencies are faced with, and kind of how can they solve that? So if I'm coming in, I'm like, look, I love marketing. I love people. I can provide value. What are some of the biggest things that they're going to face first, and how can they solve those? Apurva?
Yeah. I'll share mine, and then Apurva, you can jump in. But okay. And for me, I mean, I'm more on the brand side and more on the product side, while Apurva is more on the growth side. So I'll speak to that. I mean, first of all, you know, the positioning and the branding of agencies is very generic in most cases. So, you know, you've got 1,000 Facebook, you've got millions of Facebook ad agencies without any unique value proposition, right? You know, you've got millions of creative agencies, marketing agencies, what have you, and there's no secret sauce that you know, you can tell. So like, that's step one is like, you know, what is your differentiator, right? Because if you're just like everyone else, then you're commoditized and it's a race to the bottom, because, you know, you're going to be just caught up in RFPs, and, you know, your clients are going to be talking to five other people just like you and trying to get the best price. So like, that's not a game you want to play.
No.
You know, so we help people with premium positioning and, you know, becoming the best in their category and their niche, right? So that's kind of step one, is like, when you go out to the market, how do you cut through the noise, right? And then, you know, on the product side, everybody's offering 100 million different services, literally anything that they can think of. And that dilutes their value, and it also dilutes their product, and it also makes their delivery less than stellar, and it means poor client retention. And it also means shitty margins, because you're trying to, you know, you get one client for SEO, you get one for branding, and then you get one for marketing and one for PPC. That's a different sales process and a different delivery process each and every time. Not to mention the fact that you're out of niche, right? If you don't have a niche, then it's a different delivery process every single time. So there's all these different variables that most people don't even realize. And they're just like, yeah, I'm selling this and this and this and this and this. So, those are two things. Apoorva, what do you think?
That's a great answer. That's a great answer. Apoorva, you have anything you'd like to add there?
Yeah. I mean, so the result of that is like, we have clients that are like in the millions a year, and they just power through it. They will power through all of that. They're like, we don't care. We don't want a niche. We're going to do customer projects. And like, some of them have had strokes. Like, a lot of them are super depressed. Like, they have no idea why, because they're successful. They have millions of dollars in the bank.
Yeah.
Like, great. They're running this big agency. Their face is on everything. But like, what? Like, but at the same time, like, they're like, I'm just doing so much. And their body's rejecting that.
Yeah.
And so if you're starting an agency, like, the super hard part, especially if you're coming from a job versus like being an entrepreneur forever, structure. Like, sitting down, being able to say, like, because when you have your own business, you're like, I can wake up late. I have my own business. I can, like, take a long lunch. I have my own business, right? Being able to structure that is really, really important, because that's exactly how you're going to start scaling yourself. You're going to start scaling yourself by structuring things, automating things, having those values, and trusting other people to die for you to get those values and things done. Like, that's really how you build up the agency. And so I think that's the hardest part for any human being, is like going form to system.
Yeah, definitely. And I've noticed in my agency and a lot of agency owners that I talk with, it's hard to say no at the beginning, especially when you need the money.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're like, I'll do it. And then you end up with all these things that you've got to do. And you're just doing it for the money, and it is not enjoyable whatsoever. So I think you're right on.
Yeah. And another thing to add to that, because, you know, a lot of, like, a big part of our value proposition is automation, right? So, you know, we have people come to us and they're like, oh, I need to automate. And then I'm like, okay, so what are you selling? And they're like, well, which service, or, you know, which offer are you talking about? So like, by definition, you can't automate something that changes, right? So, you know, if you're unable to simplify your business and set up the structure, like Apoorva said, you're never going to automate. You're just going to be constantly spinning your wheels. And that's something that a lot of people don't realize. It's like, yo, you can't automate 10 different products and services for 10 different niches. I'm sorry, but
yes,
that's just not going to happen within your lifetime, at least.
Well, not just that, but like, a lot of these agency owners are super overwhelmed and they have no idea why. And every day that's it. And they're like, oh my God, I have so much stuff to do. It's like, yeah, you built that up yourself. Like, you know what we say? It's like, you're the prisoner, the warden, and the prison architect.
Yes. Like,
every client you get, you're just adding another jail cell.
And I can relate to this so much. There's so many times that I look back at my agency and I'm like, why am I doing this? And I'll literally have pages of to-do lists. And I'm like, this is crazy. And for me, the process that I started implementing is just distilling, like, what's important, what's not important, what type of client we need. I think you guys are, you know, not enough people are talking about that, because those are things that I'm actually doing in my business. So I know they work. We talked about before, Scott Alford, he has a system like the 7, the 30, the 90 day process. I implement that into my agency, and that is a game changer. And that's exactly what you guys are talking about. It's kind of distilling those processes. So we're talking about things that can agency owners can implement into their business. What's like one thing, and I know this is so cliche, but one thing that they can implement into their agency to see results. So let's just say like a hypothetical scenario, they have a handful of clients, they're trying to figure things out, they're juggling everything, they're stressed, they're overwhelmed, they're being depressed. What is one thing that they can implement into their agency to see real results and make their life better?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Me and Matt were just talking about this because we have to keep bringing this back into our lives.
Yes.
Pre-input, before you open your phone, open your laptop, talk to anyone in the morning, just you yourself, your eyes open, you have to remind yourself that like you are enough and that peace and like genius and drive and motivation and inspiration, like that all exists within you and you don't need to do anything to get it. And taking a second, 5, 10, 30 seconds, whatever it is, to remind yourself of that. Like it doesn't matter how much money you make. Money's important. You want to take care of people around you, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you lose a client or get a client or something gets done, something doesn't get done, like it's okay. Like you're enough. And yeah, that's super important. And I mean, even we forget to do it sometimes. And so,
yes.
And then you see overwhelm come up, you see bad habits come up, you'll see indicators of it all the time.
Yes.
And it'll be because you're trying to self-correct something that doesn't need correction at all.
Definitely. I think that's so powerful. And I do that every single morning. Like I'm just in the process. I got my journals that I write in. One's just for like fluid thoughts and the other one is like getting my stuff organized. But it's been like the single most important thing that I've really implemented, and being able to distill what's important and what's not, and knowing that regardless of what happens, you're enough. I think that's well put. Matt, do you have anything you can add to that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, everybody's morning routine is different and stuff, but like, think about it. Like, first thing in the morning, you want to get to the top of the mountain so that the rest of the day you're just cruising on the way down, right? So, you know, whatever that looks like for you, for me and like a lot of the people that I hang out with and talk to, is it's going to involve one or all of these things. It's going to be some breath work, you know, to get your body energized and alive, and then meditation. And, you know, just going back to, you know, that source of energy and clarity and resetting all of the shit that's running around in your brain, and gratitude, right? So like, if you do those three things first thing in the morning, I mean, your life is going to exponentially change, especially if you're not doing it every day right now. So,
I can speak to that. Like I can literally pinpoint where I've implemented that in my life and seen like my income change, absolutely everything change. Living life with intention is like super powerful. It's kind of weird because nobody really talks about that. And even on the podcast, we've had a bunch of guests. It's usually some sort of hack or something like thing that you can implement. That is as true as it gets, guys. Like that for me, I'm a big believer in that. Meditation, writing down my thoughts, knowing that you're enough. I literally have a recorded, when I'm in a high state and I'm feeling really good, I have a recorded message on my phone that I play to myself when I'm not. To be like, Nice. Basically it's a lot of swearing and reminders, but it's important to bring yourself back to that level to know that you're enough, man. Great information, guys. Truly appreciate it. So different hunger, how can that help agency owners out there if they want to find more about you? What kind of, what do you guys do? If you could sum that up a little bit and where they could find you, that would be awesome.
Yeah, totally. So differenthunger.com is our website. And what we're focused on right now is helping growth agencies automate and replace themselves in the agency. So automating specifically growth. So how do you set up the machine so that you're reaching out to your dream clients every single day and getting positive replies and leads that you can then qualify and book calls with, so that you're closing at least 2 to 5 new clients every month, because the clients that we work with are charging at least $2,000 a month retainers, sometimes up to $20,000. And so, you know, 2 to 5 new clients a month, those are, you know, those usually are multiple 7 figures once that's implemented over the course of a few months. And then the second piece is replacing yourself. So, you know, how do you replace yourself from the lead gen? How do you replace yourself from the delivery process and then the daily operations so that you can really define the future vision and work towards that? Or, you know, just take a four day vacation or whatever without worrying. Right. So, and for that information, for anyone that's listening, that is a, you know, providing an ROI to clients, they already have a few clients and they're working to scale and productize and automate, without killing themselves. Right. Yeah. Then you can go to go.differenthunger.com/get-started. And we have, some training that you can check out and learn more about, but yeah, that's
beautiful, guys. And thank you very much for coming on, and dropping some knowledge. And everybody, if you're interested in Different Hunger, go check it out, differenthunger.com. If you're running an agency and you're looking to add some automation and these things that they're saying, I'm doing it in my business as well. We're all striving for that. I appreciate you too. And thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Zach.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Thank you.